Chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 to start with, but we're going to be looking at most of the chapter and some of a couple other chapters here this morning. Luke 5, 1 through 9 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." This morning the title of my message is simply Faith. We're going to look at that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. Thank you that we have the freedom to worship you openly. Thank you that you have provided a place for us to meet. Thank you for those who are here this morning. And Father, we pray for those that are not able to be here, who want to be here, but have chosen because they're not feeling well, they are not able to come. Father, I pray you raise them up, give them strength and healing. Pray for our pastor especially, that you raise him up, that he'd be able to be back in the pulpit next week. Father, I pray that you would teach us from your word this morning. I pray that you would give me the words to say, help me to say only those things you want said. I pray you'd help us to be receptive to your truth. I pray that you would be glorified through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a common pattern that runs through the Gospels. Nearly every time a person is saved, healed of some sickness, delivered from or through a trial, or gains victory over sin, and there's at least three things that take place in each instance. The first thing is admission of a need. There's always the admission of a need. Sometimes it's recorded, sometimes it's implied. And we'll look at several of those this morning. Secondly, there's a seeking of the Savior. Seeking of the Savior or seeking of the great physician or the deliverer, because it's outside of our ability to fix the problem. And then thirdly, there's faith in Christ and his word. There's faith in Christ and his word. And that's because we recognize that he's the only one who can bring the needed change. So this morning what I want to do is I want to look at several examples in the Gospel of Luke where this pattern is seen. And the first one we just read in verses 1 through 9. And the first one here is the great catch. And here's a group of men who were fishermen who made their living by catching fish and selling them. Well, they had evidently had an unproductive night. And it's interesting because according to Luke chapter 5 verse 5, and John chapter 21, verse 3, they did their work at night. They worked third shift. Okay? It says in verse 5, we have toiled all night, taken nothing. In John 21, 3, it's similar wording where it says they fished all night. They caught nothing. Perhaps the significance of this miracle wasn't just the great catch of fish, but the fact that it, from the context, it took place during the day. Okay. Most of the time they did their fishing at night. And I don't know what kind of fish they caught over there, but evidently those fish were easier to catch at night, but Christ met the need here during the day. And the need was obviously that these men needed to catch fish in order to make a living. They were probably discouraged by the fact that they had toiled all night and had caught nothing. They were very much aware of their need. Here they come to shore in the morning, and their boats are empty. Their nets are still kind of bound up because they just gathered them up hoping fish were in it, but they just kind of, maybe they just threw them in the edge of the ship. But here now they're cleaning their nets and trying to repair their nets as Jesus comes to meet them. But what about the seeking? Well, in this instance, they didn't have to seek the one who could meet their need. He was standing right there. He was with them. But they did have to obey him. And they evidently had been exposed to Christ before this time, and they knew of his authority and power. And this was not just another man that had come into their town and was just requesting they go back to fishing. Okay, they knew something of Jesus. They knew something about him. And they knew about his character. And by the use of the word here in verse 5, it says, Simon answering said to him, Master. Okay, you don't address anybody by the term master. Okay, they knew something of Jesus. They knew he was a teacher and a guide. But how is their faith demonstrated here? What was it that brought Simon Peter to the place where he was willing to go back out? Here they were cleaning up and probably putting things away for the day. They'd had a long night. I mean, maybe when they cast their nets one time and hadn't caught it, they go to someplace else on the lake and they try to cast there and try to bring something in. It said they had toiled all night. It wasn't just a matter of, okay? These were using nets. There was a lot of work to pull these nets in. And it was their livelihood. So what was it that brought Peter to the point that I'm willing to go back out? Well, we see Peter's response in the end of verse 5. It says, nevertheless, at thy word. Did he realize that Jesus had some authority? He did. He realized Jesus had some character. He was somebody willing to listen to. He believed that Christ's command was significant enough to gather up his nets and go and try again. What is it that compels us to obey God's word? Is it our faith in the character of Christ? He has proven himself over and over again in our lives to be faithful and trustworthy. Because of that, we obey. Not because of threats of beatings or threats of rejection, but because we believe in who he is, and that he is a sovereign God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so Peter believed simply because Christ had spoken the word, and he believed who Christ was. He was willing to go back out. Why did Christ... Let me back up here. After they had caught all those fish, we see that it had a spiritual impact on Peter as well. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. As I was studying this, I thought back to Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the throne room of God. What does he say? Woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Lord of hosts. And Peter realized who he was in front of there, and it caused him to bow at Christ's knees in worship. This miracle, this meeting of their need, brought him to a realization of his position before Christ, and Peter believed that he was not worthy to be in the presence of Christ. But why did Christ come to this earth? He came to provide salvation to man, but also to show that man could come to a holy God through Jesus Christ and have fellowship with him. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So what effect did this act of faith and its results have on the fishermen? Well, look at verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 5. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So what effect did it have? It caused them to leave, focus on their livelihood, and be willing to follow Christ. And so we see here the great catch and the faith that was demonstrated there. Look at chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. We see the next example is the leper. Verse 12, it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So what's the need here? Here again we see the need is obvious. It's a leper. The man had leprosy, and his only option was to be banished from the town, banished from society, someplace outside the city to live out the rest of his life. How about his seeking? Well, this man had obviously heard about Christ. It says here in verse 12, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him. Okay, he saw or heard about Jesus, and he sought him out. And he knew about his power to heal, and so he goes to find Jesus in verse 12. And upon finding Jesus, he makes a request that shows his faith. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed that if Jesus wanted to, he could heal him. And that was his only hope, but it was also his greatest hope. And so he made a plea to Jesus. He said, if thou wilt, make me clean. And Jesus graciously reached out and healed him in answer to his request. And the next one we see here is the palsied man. Verses 17 to 26. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. What was the need? Well, the need was this man could do nothing to help himself or to heal himself. He was bedridden, and his friends were kind enough to see the need and desired to do something about it. We know from verse 15 here, the seeking, that word about Jesus and his power to heal had been told all over the region. And so when these friends heard about the fact that Jesus was close by, they got together and said, Hey, let's take our friend and take him to Jesus and have Jesus heal him. And so they joined together and committed to taking this man to Jesus. And they were so committed to it that they even opened up the roof of the house and lowered the man down in front of Jesus. Now, we don't know if they decided they'd come back later and fix the roof. But nonetheless, they were so persistent, they wanted their friend to be with Jesus or be healed by Jesus. They're willing to tear this roof apart and lower him down. And we don't know whether the palsied man had any ability when he was healed to respond to his friends and their desire to take him. We don't know. It doesn't say anything about his friends after this. But we don't know if he responded to them. But we do see here that Jesus healed the man because he recognized the faith of his friends. But The result was that the faith of the palsy man was strengthened too, because we see that by the fact that he left in verse 25, he said he departed to his own house, glorifying God. See, his perspective of Christ had changed too. When he was healed by Christ, it wasn't just, okay, thanks. But he left glorifying God and thanking God for what he had experienced. We can't heal someone or save someone or deliver them from some trial as much as we'd like to. But we can pray that Christ would do that for them. And in meeting that need, Christ can draw them to himself. And our desire ought to be to point people to Christ and to pray that he would do that in people's lives as they go through these trials. But the faith of this man was strengthened as a result of his exposure to Christ. Then over in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 19, we see another instance here. We see the great multitude. Luke 6, 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. What was the need here? There was a large group of people with physical needs, some with spiritual needs. And they came to Jesus, and they came seeking Jesus. Jesus came down from the mountain with his disciples, and here this whole great multitude came with Christ, came to looking for him. All they wanted to do was what? All they wanted to do is touch him. Because they knew that he had virtue coming out of him. They said, if we can just touch him, we'll be healed. These people had heard that Jesus was nearby, and perhaps for some it was to validate all they'd heard about Jesus. You know, they heard this guy was walking around Galilee healing people and preaching and had this new message. But for some it was really, they just wanted to be freed from this particular bondage they were in, physically or spiritually. But how was their faith demonstrated? Faith of these people is evident in the fact that they simply sought to touch Jesus. They believed it would be enough for them to be healed. And we see in verse 19, he healed them all. It doesn't say Jesus spent all day healing. It doesn't say how they were healed. They desired just to touch him, just like the woman with the issue of blood we talks about in the Gospels elsewhere. That she just reached out in the multitude and touched Jesus, the hem of his garment. And Jesus realized that she had touched him and he healed her. And the same here, these people's faith demonstrated the fact that they just needed to touch him, and because of their faith, they were healed. And then we also see in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, the centurion's servant. Chapter 7, 1 says, Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. To my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole, that had been sick. What is the need here? The need was that the centurion's servant was sick and near death, and evidently the centurion cared deeply for his servant. He wanted to do something for this man. And so the centurion obviously had some authority because he commissioned a group of Jewish elders to go and find Jesus so that his servant could be healed. So he had heard about Jesus, and so he sent this group to find him. It's kind of an interesting turn of responses here. When the elders find Jesus, and they plead with Jesus to come because the centurion was a good citizen, they say, he's a worthy man. He's worthy that you would come and heal his servant. And he'd evidently done some things for them. He built them a synagogue, whether he'd given in some way financially or just through his authority. He had seen that a synagogue was built. But they wanted to see something done for him in return. But then as Jesus goes with them and is coming, the centurion sends another group and says, wait a minute, Jesus, you don't have to come all the way to my house. I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. And this says, he didn't even consider himself worthy to go to Jesus, or deserving or entitled to go to Jesus. He knew he was a man of authority. He had people under him. He was responsible for people. But even in himself, in his humility, he realized, I'm not worthy to even be in Jesus' presence. How is his faith demonstrated? It's evident in his humility here. Here was a man who had a lot of authority. He could command whomever and whatever he desired, but he realized that to heal his servant was outside of his ability and his authority. So he sought out Jesus, who he believed could heal him. And the result was that Jesus healed his servant. Jesus acknowledged his faith. He said, I haven't seen so great faith in Israel. But he acknowledged his faith and healed the servant. The last example I want to look at this morning is in chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. It's the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and to wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and then wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. What was the need here? This woman had evidently heard about Jesus before this time. She came to found where Jesus was, but from this passage we know that she was a woman with a bad reputation. But she knew she needed to see Jesus. And as you read the context here, as you read this passage, you get the idea that her life had already been changed. And she was coming to just pour out her gratitude on Jesus. So she sought him, and this encounter with this woman was not anything other than the fact that her life had been changed and she was coming to Christ to show her gratitude. When she sees an opportunity to go to Jesus, she went. Verses 37 and 38, she went and found Jesus. But what was it that Jesus said was the reason for her salvation? Verse 50, thy faith has saved thee. It was her belief, whether at this time or previous to this time, that Jesus could deliver her from the bondage of her sinful lifestyle. And she left with a peace in her heart, knowing that she was forgiven. So what's the application for us in all these examples? When we have a need that is outside of our ability or power, we must go to the one who can meet that need, believing that he will meet that need according to his will. Why doesn't Jesus just meet our needs before we ask him? And Jennifer had that happen just the other day. Why doesn't he do that all the time? He knows what we need. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 6:8, your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. You know that he knows what I need tomorrow, and he knew that before I was even born. Before I was even created, he knew what I'd need tomorrow. He knows what I need this afternoon. And he's willing to meet that need, but what does he want us to do? He wants us to come seeking. He wants us to acknowledge our need. If we go through life knowing that Jesus knows our needs and we're just like this, okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. When are you going to meet the need? Is that pride or humility? It's pride thinking, I deserve it. You got to do it because you know about it, so I deserve for you to meet my needs. He wants us to come humbly seeking. We have to have the same attitude that the man who had leprosy had. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And come to him humbly and say, Lord, if it's your will, please heal me. Lord, if it's your will, please meet this need in my life. And he will answer according to his will. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has not yet trusted Christ for salvation. What is necessary for a person to be saved? We have to see their need. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so we have to come seeking Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We have to come seeking Christ, and then finally, in faith, we believe in him. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then 1 John 5:10 through 13 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. You have to see the need, you have to come seeking, and have faith that he will meet that need according to his will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that you show us in your word. Thank you for these examples of those that had needs, and how that when they recognized their need and they came seeking, they came believing that you could meet that need, and you willingly met the need. Father, help us to walk that way with you. Help us to point others to you. Help us to share the gospel that others might see their need for salvation. Father, help us to glorify you through our lives. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close today and turn to number 57. Hymn number 57, Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. And we'll stand together. Number 57. Sing just the first verse.
Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving.